A doctor who says there's a way we could actually live past 100. Find out how on the next Oprah.
Are you a snake oil salesman?
The angels exist. And are they sending messages to help us heal?
Or are you a reasonable clinician?
Behind the medical celebrities of Deepak Chopra and Dr. Oz is a contentious, decades-long strategy to promote alternative medicine to the American public. How the National Institutes of Health took an assortment of mystical therapies from the fraudulent fringes of the marketplace and planted them right in the heart of the American medical establishment is a story of institutional failure, a few vials of bee pollen,
thank you very much,
and an overdose of political ambition.
New schools, better health care for our citizens. That's the American dream.
In 1984, Congress presented a comprehensive report on fraudulent medicine in America. Their conclusion was a scandal. Con artists swindled the public out of $10 billion a year. Untested herbs and mystical energy therapies filled the aisles of health stores and the back pages of disreputable magazines. They preyed on the elderly, the desperate, and the terminally ill. 50 experts from leading medical institutions called for tougher enforcement against a practice few Americans had even heard of at the time: alternative medicine.
Are you ready for a president who will turn this country in a new direction?
Following a failed presidential bid, Senator Tom Harkin of Iowa thought he'd found both a cure for his hay fever and a remedy for American health care.
Back in the late 80s, he believed that bee pollen cured his allergies. Bee pollen has been studied to see whether it has any effect on allergies, and the science says that it doesn't. But he believed that it did, and he apparently asked, why isn't NIH putting more money into this? We ought to be studying these things. There's tremendous promise here for going out and finding these natural remedies. And so he created the Office of Alternative Medicine. So it was an office with a director, and he devoted a few million dollars to that.
Our next speaker is the director of the new Office of Alternative Medicine at the National Institutes of Health. Please help me welcome Dr. Joseph Jacobs.
The art of medicine consists of amusing the patient while nature cures the disease. And
my job was to objectively evaluate whether or not these therapies had a therapeutic benefit.
With degrees from Columbia, Wharton, and Yale Medical School, Dr. Jacobs had all the preferred credentials of the medical establishment. But as an American Indian, Jacobs also had firsthand experience with traditional Mohawk herbal remedies that had been in use for centuries, and that appealed to the alternative community.
I had been raised in a certain belief system that there were other things besides, you know, white man's medicine that were important.
As a medicine man with establishment credentials, Jacob seemed the ideal candidate to bring alternative medicine out of the shadows and into mainstream medical practice. But the Office of Alternative Medicine's advisory council had a very different set of priorities. A year before Oprah Winfrey would make him a household name, Deepak Chopra had been appointed to the council. Dr. David Eisenberg was an expert in traditional Chinese medicine. But the members appointed by Senator Harkin presented the most opposition to Dr. Jacobs. There was Ralph Moss, a writer fired by Sloan Kettering Cancer Center for misleading the public about alternative cancer treatments, and Gar Hildenbrand, who offered diet-based cancer cures from his clinic in Tijuana, Mexico.
They were inflamed with this political power that they had from Harkin. And so they really tried to intimidate the NIH staff over, and me, because, you know, they want things done in the way they say, and that was it. You know, otherwise, we're going to get Senator Harkin on your ass.
Also on the council was Iowa Congressman Berkeley Bedell. A close friend of Senator Harkin, Bedell was convinced that cow's colostrum infused with his own blood had cured his Lyme disease.
He didn't believe in the scientific method. He wanted us to go and look at charts, you know, rubber stamp them in terms of success and to publish that in the New England Journal of Medicine. And it just didn't work that way.
Maybe I'm naive in thinking this, but charlatans are afraid, true charlatans are really afraid to show themselves in the light of day.
After 2 years on the job, Dr. Jacobs resigned.
Harkin and his political cronies probably wanted somebody else, but they wanted me to do their bidding, and I really couldn't do that.
Once he was gone, the advisory council was free to present its own view of the future of American medicine. Alternative Medicine, Expanding Medical Horizons was a landmark report, marking the first time the government had ever taken a favorable look at medical practices that had been relegated to the fringes of American society. It was a total reversal of the 1980s report on quackery. Energy medicine, homeopathy, and magnet therapy were no longer seen as the domain of con artists. With state support, these treatments and others like them would be taken out of the shadows and integrated into mainstream medicine, providing hope for a more effective, lower-cost healthcare in America. The media jumped on the alternative bandwagon. In the 1990s, publishers showered New Age healers with magazine covers and big-money book deals. The alternative medicine celebrity was born. In the popular series Healing in the Mind, veteran journalist Bill Moyers thought he saw the future of American medicine.
We're on the cusp of a revolution in medicine, as important as the discovery of antibiotics like penicillin.
To witness the coming medical revolution, Moyers traveled to China. His guide in Beijing was Dr. David Eisenberg of the Office of Alternative Medicine.
The closest I've ever seen anything to this is looking at people who claim to be faith healers.
Moyers and Eisenberg met some of China's best-known acupuncturists and herbalists.
They call this teacher Master Shi.
And an elderly man who claimed to harness a mystical energy field known as Qi, giving him the strength of six men.
But that goes against everything we know and understand in Western science. It defies the biophysical law.
Moyer's sympathetic examination of supernatural medicine set the tone for today's television healers, whose miraculous claims and occasional state support are rarely questioned by the news media.
Is talking to the dead a new kind of therapy? Psychic medium John Edward believes it can be. Could it help you someday?
But while the media saw a medical revolution just around the corner, Senator Harkin was frustrated by what he saw as the slow pace of reform.
I asked the director of NIH a few months ago, who was in my office, how many treatments or practices or medicines they had investigated and validated since 1992. And I was met with a deafening silence. The answer is none. And yet next year we're putting $13 million into the Office of Alternative Medicine. One might rightly ask, where is it going and what's happening?
The response that Harkin then enacted in the Senate was to elevate the status of the Office of Alternative Medicine to a national center. He gave it its own line item in the NIH budget so the NIH director couldn't touch it and dramatically increased its funding. It raised it at the time to around $50 million, and it was raised quite a bit more in subsequent years. And it's this training component of their funding that has established these centers and these training programs in alternative medicine at many leading medical schools. So what's to me kind of frustrating, and it would be funny if it weren't so serious, is that they're training people in methods that they don't have any evidence to support. If you could manipulate someone's health by, say, waving your hands over them as some energy healing practices like Reiki and healing touch claim, if that were true, that would be remarkable. We've never had any evidence that anything like that is operating. There's any kind of energy field around humans. It's frankly ridiculous.
Your tissue actually stores memories and stores emotions.
A lot of that grew out of the burgeoning Office of Alternative Medicine. You know, we kind of brought everything to the head, and all of a sudden you had people jumping on the bandwagon, you know, medical schools jumping on the bandwagon to teach alternative medicine.
Lured by the promise and prestige of NIH grants, dozens of the most famous hospitals and medical schools across the United States now have well-funded centers for alternative medicine. But even as these centers multiply, there are fewer claims that alternative medicine actually treats disease.
The advocates were saying that cures for cancer were hidden within the alternative medicine universe. And they weren't. They weren't, as far as I was concerned.
About a year ago, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had a scan at 7:30 in the morning, and it clearly showed a tumor on my pancreas.
Apple CEO Steve Jobs decided to treat his cancer with acupuncture and a vegan diet, while his cancer continued to metastasize.
He apparently had a form of pancreatic cancer that was treatable. Most pancreatic cancer is not treatable, and it's a terrible, terrible form of cancer and kills most people within a year. He delayed surgery for something like 9 months to a year because he was trying other dietary treatments, which of course didn't work. Had he been treated right away with the most effective therapy, that he might have been cured. That's possible, but we'll never know the answer to that.
Thank you very much for the welcome.
We love you, Steve!
Thanks, I think.
Did Steve Jobs possibly doom himself? That's been the question raised this week. And
he got acupuncture, he got bowel cleansers, because he thought this was an all-natural thing to do, and it ultimately cost him his life.
How could such a smart man do such a stupid thing?
Following Steve Jobs' death, alternative medicine came under intense criticism.
The evidence for the safety and efficacy of complementary approaches is still very incomplete.
Dr. Josephine Briggs, the director of the recently renamed National Center for Complementary and Integrative Health at the NIH, responded to Steve Jobs' passing with the first official admission of the failures of alternative medicine. She wrote, "When making treatment decisions, unproven alternative medicine approaches should not replace conventional medical care approaches known to be useful or helpful. Simply put, the evidence is not there."
NCAM has funded some reasonably designed studies, and in every case, they've shown that the alternative modalities, the alternative methods that they were investigating, failed to work.
One by one, the NIH's long-term clinical trials began to knock down the claims of alternative medicine. The press jumped on 18 years of dashed expectations. But the studies were no impediment for Senator Harkin, then serving his 34th year in Congress. He blamed his own creation for the failures.
One of the purposes of this center was to investigate and validate alternative approaches. Quite frankly, I must say publicly, it's fallen short. The focus, I think, quite frankly, in this center and previously the office before it, most of his focus has been on disproving things rather than seeking out and approving things.
It showed to the world, really, that Harkin has a really fundamental misunderstanding of how science works. Good science doesn't set out to prove that something you've already decided upon works. If you already know that it works, you don't need to investigate it.
I believe strongly that Americans want access to health care options and alternatives. That's why I insisted that integrative medicine get a major boost in the new health reform law.
And so Senator Harkin authored the expansion of alternative medicine into the Affordable Care Act.
We are done.
Yeah.
Including the controversial Section 2706, which requires alternative practitioners to be reimbursed equally with medical doctors.
So I am retiring from the Senate, but I'm not retiring from the fight.
But it seems almost like we've made this a permanent monument to Tom Harkin. He retired, and it would be terrific if we would also retire this national center, but we didn't, we just renamed it. Its chief advocate has left, but it has created its own pretty extensive group of advocates, people who make money off of getting funding from NCAM, now NCCIH. So they advocate fiercely for its funding to continue and to even increase. In science, if something doesn't work, we stop funding it, we stop investigating it. But here, because we have a dedicated stream of money going to this national center, we don't stop.
I'm a quack.
Oh, man.
The fact is, the National Institutes of Health has recently appointed me on a panel for unconventional and alternative medical practices. And I think what we considered miracle cures in the past are becoming the science of today.